We see it in churches. We see it in decisions of what church we go to, what we do. We see it all over the place where believers do it their way and they suffer great consequences. And let this be a warning to all of us.
Thanks for joining us for this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a letter from Marna in Wisconsin. She writes, "You are appreciated and wished rich blessings, for we thank the Lord for you all, and thank you for giving of yourself for the good of others." Well, Marna, we are so blessed to be able to have this ministry to share God's word. We are so thankful, and it is only through our Lord that enables us and provides for it that we are able to do it, and so we so greatly appreciate your prayers and encouragement.
And once again, Greg, we're going to call attention to that old adage that says, we can learn things the easy way or the hard way.
Indeed, Dave. Once again, we're going to see what happens when we ignore the clear, revealed word of God and go about things our own way. Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 27, and we'll begin with verse 1.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Well, there was a song in the 60s by a guy, Frank Sinatra. He said, "I did it my way." And that's really what the world thinks. If you're a non-believer, if you don't know Christ, whether you name his name or not, if you truly don't know him, you do things your way. But yet, when we come to Christ, we realize, as he said, that we need to die to self, that the old man needs to die. And when we come to Christ, the Lord God enables us to trust him rather than ourselves. And yet we struggle with that on a daily basis. It's a daily struggle to trust in the Lord in the midst of our situations versus to rely on ourselves. And I think if each and every one of us were honest, we are tempted day in and day out to do it our way. To do things our way, whether it's at church, whether it's with our family, whether it's at work. We're tempted to do things our way. We're tempted to think like we used to be before we came to Jesus Christ. Now, the reality is the Christian life is a continual process of dying to self, putting to death the deeds of the flesh. It's a continual putting to death. It's a renewal of the mind. And yet we do fail. And when we fail, we need to recognize we will reap what we sow, whether we are believers or not. God is gracious, but yet the principle stands. And today we're going to see what happens in the lives of three believers and one non-believer when they do things their way. If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 27, we're going to be looking at the whole chapter, and that's difficult, 47 verses, but yet the whole chapter goes together, and so we need to see it together. So I hope you packed lunch. But we're going to see today what happens when we do things our way. Now, again, we've been studying the book of Genesis, and we've seen that Moses, inspired by the Holy Spirit, has revealed God's perfect creation, that it was perfect, it was good, it was very good, with man in the center. And then we saw the first account, the earliest account of the creation and mankind, that man was created sinless, but yet man fell into sin, Eve being deceived, but Adam fully transgressing. And we saw the proliferation of sin throughout the world, that God was certainly addressing sin and working with the nations until the nations fully rejected him, we see, on the plains of Shinar, the Tower of Babel. And the Lord turned his salvation plan to one man, ultimately, to bring forth a nation from which would come forth one man, God, who would take on human flesh, who would bring salvation not only to Israel, whoever would believe, but also to those nations, whoever would believe. We've seen God's plan move through Abraham, and we've seen it now move to his son Isaac, that in Abraham's seed, all the nations would be blessed. The opportunity for salvation blessing would come to all. And we've seen that plan now move to his son Isaac. In chapter 25, we see that Isaac had been married for 20 years to Rebekah with no child. And he prayed for a child, and she conceived. Yet there was a fierce struggle in her womb, which we find out was a supernatural struggle. God was allowing those two twins, Jacob and Esau, to struggle in her womb to reveal that he is sovereign over who he saves and who he chooses. And we see that he tells her as she inquires, why is this happening? She inquires of the Lord, and the Lord tells her two nations are in her womb. And from that, those two nations, the older would serve the younger. And then we had the birth of the twins, Esau coming out first, named because he was hairy. That's what his name means. And he was red. And his brother Jacob came out holding his foot. He was a heel holder. That's what Jacob means, or a supplanter. And we see within that, that even within their time in the womb, but also their conception, God's truth was being manifest as he pictured what would happen between these two brothers and their descendants. With that in mind, we saw then, with a brief explanation in the book of Romans, that God is sovereign over that, that he was using that as a picture to show that he is sovereign over salvation, Romans chapter 9. And then in the end of chapter 25 of Genesis, we saw these two men, Jacob and Esau, beginning to live out their spiritual destinies, based on their own choices, by the way. And we saw Jacob living up to his name. He wrongly obtains his brother's birthright, or shrewdly does, by buying it for a single meal. We see Esau cared so little about the promises of God that he sold his birthright for a single meal. And then we came to chapter 26, where we saw the entire chapter was focused on the life of Isaac. The things that God wanted us to see in that chapter about the life of Isaac. Remember, there were many chapters devoted to Abraham. There are many devoted to Jacob, many devoted to Joseph, but only one directly devoted to Isaac. Now, today we're going to see Isaac in this chapter, but yet it's not completely devoted to him. We're going to see all four characters, may I say, true characters in chapter 27 today. And so with that in mind, last week we saw a short portion on how to walk with the Lord, that Isaac obeyed the Lord. He had heard his word, but yet he had not truly trusted him and sought him, and God allowed the blessings that he bestowed upon him to be frustrated until he sought the Lord, and the Lord was gracious to provide for him and to bring peace in the midst of his walk when he came to Beersheba. Now, with that in mind, we're going to see today what happens when we as believers do things our way. Now, the first thing we're going to see is that when we seek our own desire rather than God's, what happens? Let's take a look at verse 1. Now it came about when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see that he called his older son Esau and said to him, my son. And he said to him, here I am. And Isaac said, behold, now I am old and I do not know the day of my death. Now then, please take your gear, your quiver, your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me and prepare a savory dish for me, such as I love. And bring it to me that I may eat, so that my soul may bless you before I die. And Rebekah was listening while Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game to bring home, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, behold, I have heard your father speak to your brother Esau, saying, verse 7, bring me some game and prepare a savory dish for me, that I may eat and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, listen to me as I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me two choice kids from there, that I might prepare them as a savory dish for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall bring it to your father that he may eat, so that he may bless you before his death. And Jacob answered his mother, Rebekah, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Verse 12, perhaps my father will feel me. Then I shall be a deceiver in his sight and shall bring upon myself a curse and not a blessing. But his mother said to him, your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me. So he went and got them and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were in her house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids on his hands and on the smooth of his neck. She also gave savory food and bread, which she had made to her son Jacob. Then he came to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am." "Who are you, my son?" Verse 19. And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Get up, please, sit and eat of my game, that you may bless me." Verse 20. And Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have done it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God caused it to happen to me." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come close that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob came close to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" And he said, "I am." So he said, "Bring it to me and I will eat of my son's game that I may bless you." And he brought it to him and he ate. He also brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Please come close and kiss me, my son." So he came close and kissed him. And when he smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is like the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed. Now may God give you the dew of the heavens and the fatness of the earth and an abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you and blessed be those who bless you." Wow. If you were paying attention, this gets kind of ugly. It's not good. We see deception. We see lies. We see all kinds of stuff, even saying, "God, help me do this." It's ugly. And we're going to see three believers who are driven by their own desires. One non-believer following his own lusts. And nothing but trouble results. You see, we're going to see that when you do things your way, no matter whether you know the Lord or not, nothing but trouble comes. And Israel would need to understand this. This is originally written to Israel as they're waiting on the plains of Moab, ready to go into the land. They needed to obey the Lord and not do what they saw and act upon their own wisdom and understanding, which we see they failed greatly, didn't they? They needed to learn the same lesson, and we need to learn the lesson. So with that in mind, notice Isaac is driven by his own desire. In contradiction to God's will, he seeks to bless Esau rather than Jacob. And Esau gladly follows along. Esau, the godless man, by the way. Again, verse 1, let's start our study. "Now it came about when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see that he called his older son Esau and said to him, 'My son.' And he said to him, 'Here I am.' And Isaac said, 'Behold, I am old and I do not know the day of my death. Now then, please take your gear and your quiver and your bow and go out to the field and hunt for game for me, and prepare a savory dish for me, such as I love. And bring it to me that I may eat, so that my soul may bless you before I die." Now, this portion seems very straightforward, but I think there's some important observations that we need to make. Obviously, our passage begins speaking of Isaac. This is Abraham's unique son, the one in whom the promise would come, as we saw last week. He is a believer, but yet he makes some terrible mistakes with lasting consequences, as we're going to see here. And from these mistakes, which are written for our instruction, I believe that we have them so that we will not make the same mistakes. So we have Isaac calling his son Esau to bless him, and he wants him to go out and get him some game. Then afterwards, after he has a savory meal, he intends to bless him. Now, before we get into this passage, we need to get into this idea of blessing. Now, in the Old Testament context, before God's word was complete, we see at times true believers pronouncing prophetic blessing upon their children in accordance with God's revealed promises. And on these occasions, we see mostly with the patriarchs, God is using this occasion to reveal the future concerning those sons and their descendants in context with his promises. Now, unfortunately, in our day, there are some who have taken this concept of verbal blessing and twisted it to the point, practically speaking, where people are saying that what they would say about someone is going to come true. You see, but we realize that we have God's completed word. We have everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him. We have His precious and magnificent promises. We already have every spiritual blessing already in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And some well-meaning believers, but yet maybe have not been fully instructed, can fall prey to this idea of blessing. That someone needs to bless their family verbally with some statement that might hold authority. There's nothing in the New Testament that justifies this. We can speak well of others, and that should be our desire, but we cannot proclaim what God will do like we see in our passage here today. We cannot proclaim that. Now, we might pray that God might do something wonderful in the life of a person, such as cause them to walk wholeheartedly before Him. Absolutely. We pray for that, and we do that together. But we don't demand or say that this is what will happen. So I think we can be tempted at times to look at an Old Testament passage and convert it to fill our desires rather than to see it rightly in its context. And today I think we're going to see rightly that Isaac knew the prophecy and Isaac understood, but yet Isaac decides to bless his older son rather than his younger son. You see, we know earlier that the Lord told Rebekah who would serve who. Look back in chapter 25, verse 22. So Isaac is going to bless his older son Esau. But yet God has revealed His will already in this situation. And we're going to see as Jacob messed up and as Isaac messes up that they are going in contradiction to God's will. Or that Isaac is. Chapter 25, verse 22. But the children struggled within her. That's the two twins. And she said, if it is so, why then am I this way? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. And one people shall be stronger than the other. And then notice this statement. And the older shall serve the younger. God clearly reveals that Jacob would be the one who is going to receive the blessing. He is the one. The older is Esau. He shall serve the younger, which is Jacob. He made it clear that the promises would come through Jacob rather than Esau before they were even born, so that God's choice would stand, Romans chapter 9, that it wouldn't be based on anything that Jacob or Esau did or anything that they willed, Romans 9, but that God's choice would stand. And so here we see that Isaac actually thinks he is blessing Esau, and he declares this. Look at chapter 27, verse 29. Notice what he says. He thinks he's blessing his older, by the way, but he mimics the promise which he knows. Notice this. May peoples serve you, 27, 29, and nations bow down to you, be master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. He is taking what he understands, which he rightly understands by faith, and he is applying it to Esau rather than Jacob. But he doesn't know, as we have read, that it's not Esau. It's actually Jacob. So here, Isaac fully intends to bestow the blessing that God has revealed is for Jacob upon his favored son, Esau. It's also probably realistic to understand that Isaac probably had heard that Esau had willingly sold his birthright to Jacob. It's probably a pretty understandable situation. I'm sure his wife Rebekah has told him what has happened because she favors Jacob. Esau had sold his birthright, as we saw in chapter 25, for a single meal, the right of the firstborn, which would include ultimately the blessing. You see, because this was a blessing for what would actually be bestowed upon the one who had the right of the firstborn. And so Esau sold the right of the firstborn, thus the blessing. And yet here, Isaac is attempting to, as we will see, thwart God's clear sovereign will. He is attempting to bestow the blessing upon his son Esau rather than Jacob. And as we look at this, this is premeditated. And there are some things that go with it that help us understand when someone is doing it their way. We're going to see some elements in this passage that clearly identify when someone is walking in the flesh, doing things their way, some characteristic realities. This is not a pretty picture of Isaac at this point, as we're going to see. We're going to see when he finds out that he has been thwarted, that God has sovereignly thwarted, he shakes violently and trembles. We're going to see later on that he does the right thing by faith, which is the opposite of what he is trying to do here. So here, there are some identifying elements that go along with when we are walking and doing things our way. And by the way, this passage is related to the things of God. You see, this blessing was God's will to happen. We see that with Jacob. We see it with Joseph, as we'll see later on. And often, when we do things our way, it is related to the body of Christ. We see it in churches. We see it in decisions of what church we go to, what we do. We see it all over the place where believers do it their way and they suffer great consequences. And let this be a warning to all of us. So here, we have the passage. Now, it came about when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see. Notice, Isaac, he's old and his eyes were too dim to see, that he called his older son Esau and he said to him, "My son." And he said to him, "Here I am." He said, "Behold, now I am old, and I do not know the day of my death. Now then, please take your gear, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare a savory dish for me, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, so that my soul may be blessed." As I shared, there are some interesting characteristics about this that we need to identify that go along with when one does things their way. It seems like he's in a hurry here. Isaac is old and blind. And he is saying, "I need to do this before I die." And that was right. The practice was before you would die that you would give the blessing to your children. But we see ultimately that Isaac wasn't going to die. Hebrews chapter 11 reveals part of that. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20. It's very interesting when we see a contrast between Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. There's a little phrase spoken of Jacob and Joseph, and it's not spoken of Isaac. And I'm going to read this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20. "By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau." Okay, that's pretty straightforward, even regarding the things to come. We're going to get to that. How does this work out by faith with all this sin going on? We're going to see that. We're going to look at that. But notice the next phrase. "By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff." Verse 22, "By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones." Isaac is in a hurry. "I'm going to bless you. I'm going to die. I better do it now. I better do it now."
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. You know, Greg, God already stated Jacob's destiny in chapter 27, but Rebekah took matters into her own hands when she thought Isaac was going to mess that up by wanting to bless Esau.
You know, just like his father Abraham did, more than once, forgetting what God had revealed regarding the birth of Isaac and taking matters into his own hands, and we saw the mess that was created.
And Greg, again, we find elaboration in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11 in this case, that provides a fuller understanding of this Old Testament passage.
Indeed we do. And to do things God's way, we need to know what God has revealed in his written word. Many sincere believers get into a mess because they've neglected a genuine, humble study of his word. And ignorance is not an excuse. Now, here at Equipping the Saints, we want to facilitate your diligent study of God's word so that you could walk in his ways and avoid many a trouble through obedience to him.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.